walking by. Soon your love will be all mine. Then I'm gonna take you home.
So Jennifer and Rosie, colors like red, yellow, and green, and a variety of names like Hooligan, Cotton Candy, and Orange Smoothie are proof that more than 45 different varieties of pumpkins exist. And if you go to azfb.org and you plug in pumpkins to do a search, listeners, it's the article called Let's Talk Pumpkins in Arizona Agriculture, and it'll give you all those fun little trivia facts. One of the fun things that you'll see in this article is that a moon pumpkin is growing in Arizona soil, so you'll have an idea of what a moon pumpkin looks like if you go to that article. But that's Jennifer and I were talking during the break, Katie. What's a typical day for a mom raising three little kids? Because I think your oldest is what? You told me the other day, and I'm going to have to confess I don't.
She's six.
That's right. So she's six, and your youngest is not even quite a year old right now, right?
Correct, yeah. She'll turn 8 months the day we open next week.
So do they get to go to the pumpkin patch every day it's open?
nearly every day. And our oldest has rarely gotten to a point at the end of the season where she gets tired of it. She's ready to go every day.
I love it. So what's a typical day for you then? That was Jennifer's question to me, and I thought, I'm going to ask you.
Okay. Well, you know, we were actually talking about this last night, and I feel like, I mean, this is definitely not something that's specific to us, and or even I think it's a kind of a widespread agriculture family. The thing is, I mean, it's really neat that we get to involve our kids in what we do and how they get to see life and things, you know, things brought to life. And that's, I mean, everything from a calf being born to that we always let them plant a few seeds in our educational garden each year. Last year, our daughter actually attended a field trip out here, which we were a little bit concerned about. You know, we made sure that she knew to listen to the tour guide before she came out on her field trip.
Take him on her own tour,
so we thought that it would be a good, we thought it would be a good experience for her to be able to say, you know, these are the plants that I planted out here. And, you know, for them to really make all of those connections. And, but I guess kind of, you know, there is that whole balance that all of us agriculture families have. You know, we get to take our kids to work a lot of the time, but at the same time, we also have to take our kids to work a lot of the time, right?
Yeah, you have no choice.
And I mean, that has meant, you know, there were days that we were weeding or planting here in our educational garden for our field trips that I ended up having to sprint a quarter mile down the field to keep our three-year-old out of our irrigation ditch.
Oh,
you know,
yeah. Stuff like that.
right. Things like that. So,
well, that's anyway, when they say that moms have to have eyes in the back of their head, and I am convinced that that's the case. But I have another, like, family question to ask you, Katie. Is your dad, your father-in-law, is it Dean?
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
So the reason I'm asking that is my brother used to work for the Cotton Board, and he's my brother, Brent Murphy. So, and the Murphys have been in farming for generations here in Arizona. Unfortunately, we got out of it, but we're still promoting it. Brent, my older brother, and myself are promoting it. But he's had your father-in-law on one of the cotton tours that the National Cotton Board. So he knows your family, and it was funny. Brent, who's now living in Memphis, he listens to the show, you guys. So partly because he knows his sister is going to be on it. But so he's giving you a hello and tell the family hi from Brent Murphy. And
I will. Yes. My father-in-law grew cotton out here for 35 years. So I'm sure they're certain their paths crossed.
It's a pretty tight community.
Yes, and you know, you're not, Rosie pointed this out on break, that you're not far from the Hayden family, and the Hayden family's grown cotton here in the valley for generations too. Is that not correct? So
yes,
pumpkins,
it is. Yep,
pumpkins are 90% water, and Native Americans used to flatten strips of pumpkins, dry them, and then made mats out of them. In fact, Native Americans use pumpkins for all sorts of things. And if we thought we we're clever today on how we use pumpkin seeds. Native Americans use pumpkin seeds for food and medicine. So there's a lot of good things about pumpkins. And when you get to Rocker 7 Farm Patch next weekend, you're going to be finding some pumpkins. But I agree with you, Katie. Your sunflowers are some of the most beautiful sunflowers, and they are very attractive, especially an entire field of them.
Yes, and we've already have questions nearly every day. People asking, you know, will they be bloomed by this weekend? You know, what's the best weekend to see them and things like that. So, I know you were just mentioning a lot of different uses for, you know, different parts of the pumpkin. One modern use that we've come across since we opened the farm patch has been we get questions every year. People asking if they can purchase the stem of the pumpkin. Apparently, it's a very popular crafting item.
Oh, it is. Fun. They make beautiful pumpkins. I think somebody started on a little artist on Etsy, and they were beautiful velveteen pumpkins with a real stalk. So you make your own little pumpkin, and now you can find them everywhere a lot, just plastic stems and stuff. So people like the artsy look of the stem.
So I hope you're charging a pretty penny for that one, because you know what? That's a lot more valuable than what we get per pound for our cotton at about 61 cents a pound right now. So
there you go. Yeah, no, and we sell the sunflowers too for people who are interested in doing those. And we do get some very big ones, so we sell those. We also have our crew out here chop down some of our sorghum stalks from our maize every year, and we have those drying at our admission gate. We always get some people buying those for decorative purposes too in the fall. So I mean, we really try to have kind of all pieces of the farm available.
Awesome. Thank you, Katie. In our next segment, we've got more to talk about.
Oh, no, we got plenty to talk about.
I think you misread the cue.
I wanted to ask Katie a question. It's Gary, good. The producer. With all those sunflower seeds and sunflowers that are growing at the farm, have you had a rash of those wild lovebirds show up to the farm?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. They are not our friend at all.
They're not?
We have to replant.
Wow. I love their chirp.
The birds.
Not if they were eating your produce, you wouldn't.
Good point.
Oh my goodness, we had to replant the whole lower end of our sunflower field this year. We had to replant rows in our educational garden 3 different times this
year.
Is that your biggest predator on your crops? Anyway. Is those little birds, or is it rabbits, or what? What's your biggest challenge?
Overall, as far as the damage that we experienced this year, it was by far the birds.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Certainly, yes.
I wonder if, you know, our wine growers, and some of them have even given up on the nets, and they use those, they literally have them on, they're repeated, the birds of prey are constantly, you know, making noises, and they're just doing that with these. One of my wine growers uses it, and apparently it's pretty effective. He says, it's not perfect. I still have some bird damage from my grapes, but he said, I'm not doing nets anymore as a result. For our listener,
well,
here's...
We should look into investing in one of those for sure.
I think it's tulle. Is that the netting? It's called tulle or tulle?
Yeah, the netting. Mm-hmm. And Katie, I can give you the farmer's name, and he can let you know how effective he thinks they are. But one other little interesting bit about pumpkins is more than 1.5 billion pounds of pumpkins are produced each year in the United States. And obviously, as we mentioned earlier, most of that is coming from Illinois. And yes, many of them are coming from Illinois, but other top producing states are Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and California. And you know, our production might not be as big as theirs, but we have wonderful pumpkins in Arizona, and this is a season to enjoy them.
One thing we talked about earlier, Julie, you and I, was just the fact that with the agritourism, and what did you call it, Katie? Agritainment? With that industry, how the farmers help each other within the state.
Yes.
Because the crops mature at different times.
Right. They're always talking to each other. Mm-hmm. One of my farmers told me one time, and Katie, I'm sure your family does this too, is she was just starting to get into it in terms of the agritourism and delivering to farmers market. But she said, Julie, my best advisors have been these veteran generational farmers. And they might not have even done farmers markets, but because they know how to manage their crops, they know to they have a real sense of the day-to-day in agriculture, those are the farmers that I like to talk to. So, yes, it's very common from one farm to the next. And if they don't know who to talk to, they usually call Arizona Farm Bureau and one of us on staff, and they say, hey, this is my problem. This is my issue. Who do you know that might be helpful in that? And, you know, for some of these longtime farm families, the Leisters, the Haydens, the Murfrees, when we were farming, we have so much domain knowledge as it relates to that thing. We also have a history question from Rosie. Rosie, I wanted to hear your...
Well, the Leister family name is so unique, and Katie mentioned that they originally immigrated from Kentucky, and Kentucky is only separated from Pennsylvania by West Virginia. Yeah. And the Leister family farmhouse was General George Meade's headquarters during the Battle of Gettysburg. And I lost ancestors on that farm. And I'm just curious, is there any connection between the Leister family of Gettysburg and Leister family of Buckeye?
You know, I really wouldn't have any idea. I married into the family, but you know, my husband's 95-year-old grandma, who still drives herself everywhere every day, would probably have an idea on that. And it was actually his maternal grandparents who came from or great grandparents who came from Kentucky. So the Leister name, that family is still focused in Maryland. So
okay. Well. Even still, Maryland's not very far from Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it might not. You'll have to ask your family. Yeah. Is the video, is that of the grandma you're talking about? Just a precious kind of overview story of your family farm history on the website I listened to before this weekend, because I wanted to get a little bit more familiar with the family, and I just thought that video was precious. Is that the one you're talking about?
It is. So our website is rocker7farmpatch.com, and there's a link in our main heading there for our story. And a few years ago, I sat down with my husband's grandmother and kind of asked her a few questions about how they started. She mentions the story about her dad calling her and talking about the hot rock and all of that. So it's very, very, very precious.
And boy, our rocks do get hot out here. So he was seeing the future despite the heat, and it didn't affect his brain because you guys are here and you're well embedded, and that's fun. So we've been talking a lot about what you guys are going to be doing. You said that officially the festival for Rocker 7 starts next weekend. Does it go into November?
It does. So we kind of shifted back a little bit this year. Typically, we're open the 4 weekends in October. Due to our weather here in the valley and things, we thought it would be more enjoyable for people this year, especially with an earlier first weekend, to kind of shift that back. And so we're going to open next weekend. It works so much better with the crops, too. Like we'll have more of the pumpkins that we're growing will be available, you know, for those later weeks, and I will be open through the first weekend of November. So November 3rd will be our closing day.
That's right. Friday, Saturday, Sundays during those weekends.
Okay, great.
Correct. Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays. We're only open for our scheduled field trips on the weekdays. So.
Thank you.